The music means it is Friday, and it means that you have survived yet another week in the Trump administration. Congratulations to you for doing that. On our show today, you have the chance to do more shout-outs. We've been doing this all week. We'll continue it through Tuesday of caucus day, but we're letting you call in and give a shout-out for your candidate or your cause for the caucus. You got somebody that you're supporting, a candidate that you think is really good, or you got a resolution that you're going to be bringing to the caucus. We want to know about it. We've been taking calls at 952-946-6205 and recording them. We'll play back some of those, but we'll also open up the phone lines here if we have some time for you to call in and, you know, tell us what you think. So, you know, if you've got something, get your notes together and give us a call and be succinct. But we're looking for that for reasons that you are going to the caucus. Will there be a DFL primary for governor? Well, now that Attorney General Lori Swanson has announced that she's not going to run for governor, the narrative has been that there's not going to be a primary. But we've got some audio, and we'll play it back here, that indicates that may not be the case. And Adam Jennings, he's one of the three candidates who is seeking the DFL endorsement to run against Republican Eric Paulson. We are going to be talking to him later on in the program about his campaign. Obviously, precinct caucus is coming up, so he is very focused on that. But first, of course, release the memo. That has been the hashtag on conservative social media for the last few weeks. Today, the memo compiled and edited by the Republican congressional aides was released. It accuses the FBI and the Justice Department of abusing their surveillance powers to spy on a former Trump campaign advisor, Carter Page. Joining us to talk about this breaking stories and other news from Washington is Talk Media News' Ellen Ratner. Ellen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. And if you hear cars, I'm on the street.
Okay. Well, don't get hit by any of them, okay?
I'll try not. Okay. So basically on the memo issue, this is the following. I think that, first of all, I don't believe in classifying a lot of these documents. And I think that what they should do, honestly, is to release the background documents and the Democratic memo. Let the American people decide.
Okay.
But as a Democrat I know very well said, listen, they think that Trump is going to use this by saying, look how the fix is in, and therefore I'm not going to testify before the special counsel. And he may use this whole memo to do that.
Well, Republicans had promised that this was going to really cast doubts on the origin of the Russian investigation and possibly undermine the inquiry. You mentioned that Trump may use it as an excuse not to testify, but does it do anything else to the inquiry here, you think?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, we just, you know, got the memo this afternoon. It's hard to know how they're going to react. Rosenstein obviously is going to be a target of Donald Trump in a major way, and the Republicans who are already caught, you know, when you see a memo and 15 minutes later you see Twitter and all these social media things saying, get rid of Rosenstein, you know the fix was in.
One of the things in this that was in this, you know, is it just kind of confirmed some stuff that we were guessing, is that it says that the actions taken by George Papadopoulos were a factor in opening the investigation. And that's something, you know, that has been a dispute. And so this really just seems to be, I don't know if you call it a smoking gun, but it doesn't seem very good for the Trump administration in that sense.
Well, I don't think it is. And frankly, you know, I'm one of these crazy believers that believes the dossier might have actually been accurate. Now, should they have disclosed who paid for the dossier? Certainly. But it doesn't mean that the dossier was not accurate.
Well, remind me, because I thought the dossier was originally funded by Republicans and then got funded by Democrats. Am I forgetting the history of this thing, or am I remembering it correctly?
I honestly don't remember. What I do remember is that the Democrats wound up paying for it.
Okay. All right. And this is, again, Carter, the guy
who originally funded it, I don't know.
Yeah, Carter was the British guy who was putting this together. I thought that the Republicans were first kind of trying to get the dirt on Trump when he was running against them, and then the Democrats took this over. But in any case, yeah, that
I'm
missing.
I'm told by somebody I'm walking with here that it was Paul Singer that originally did this. Paul Singer was the guy who run the Elliott hedge fund.
Okay, all right. So what's been the reaction to this? I mean, obviously, you're on the street, literally on the street in Washington, D.C. today.
But the reaction that I'm hearing, again, has to do with the fact that what has happened, really, is that people are saying that Trump is going to use this as a way of getting out of what he's gotten out, you know, getting out of testifying before the special counsel. And I wouldn't doubt it.
Is there anything in here, because this is what people are worried about, is there anything in here that would give him more ammunition to fire Mueller?
Well, I don't see that it has any smoking gun like that, but you never know. I mean, he could turn anything into anything. That's what Donald Trump does, as you know. And
yeah,
he could come up and say, oh, yeah, well, see, I don't think he's going to fire him. I think that that is going to do like a Saturday Night Massacre, but he could refuse to testify for him. And he could use this memo as the reason.
Now, the congressman behind this, Devin Nunes of California, is a Republican. He once called his fellow Republicans lemmings in suicide vests. Has this put him in a better graces with the hard right on this whole thing?
Well, I would imagine so. But again, I have not yet talked to a lot of the hard righters. It's still early. Give it a day or so, and I'll have an answer for you by Monday.
Okay. All right. We'll come back to that. I have a feeling this will still be alive when we check in with you.
Oh,
on Monday.
I think it's going to be alive during the Sunday shows. And also, don't forget, we have the, what's that thing called? You know, on Sunday, the big football game.
Yeah, that's
the
we're
Super
having
Bowl,
that here.
Thank
in
you. Yes.
We're having that here in Minneapolis, by the way, in case you haven't heard. It's cold.
Oh, yeah.
The media's been up
right here
to tell us
that. And
there's
going to be a flyover of three World War II planes. Well, one World War II plane and two other planes, including a Warthog. That much I do know.
Okay. All right. Good. Yes. And that's the tangential relationship between politics here and the Super Bowl here in Minnesota. Let's move on to another topic here I want to chat about, because this has kind of gotten buried with all the other stuff. In fact, you had to remind me when we were chatting before the show that, you know, North Korea is, you know, growing as a nuclear threat, and the Trump administration has been changing how it's may react to a threat from North Korea or any other organization and possibly launch a nuclear war. What's behind that? What's the
well,
talk
on
that?
Well, in his State of the Union address, the president said that he's done talking and that other administrations have been talking. And then he said he wants to build up our nuclear arsenal. Now, I've just been told by somebody who knows about these things that we have really advanced warning systems, weapon systems, et cetera. And so I'm not terribly worried. I trust my friend.
Mm-hmm. But are we worried that the Trump administration may be lowering the threshold for when nuclear weapons might be used? I mean, it's always been, you know, murky.
Well,
on what
there's
would
obviously that.
That,
and that's a big problem. I mean, they
yeah,
may lower the threshold. They may use nuclear weapons. They may go in first. All of that is possible.
Yeah. Luckily, we have a stable genius in charge at the White House, so we don't have to worry if about something being done, or, you know, rationally on something like that. He said sarcastically. Okay?
Exactly. He says very stable, right? Right.
Yeah. 2018 elections may resolve some of this, and I've been looking at the polls that are coming out, and it seems like they do the generic poll where they say, would you vote for a Democrat or for a Republican? And the Republicans have just been getting killed on this for quite a while. And suddenly now the tide is turning a little bit. Is this, are you hearing that this is a real, you know, uptick here for the Republicans or just an aberration? Do we have any idea what might be happening in 2018?
Well, listen, I think what's going to go on with the 2018 is that it's going to go before the Supreme Court. It's very clear that when they elected a majority of Republican state houses, and they did, that they are gerrymandering districts. And we have seen that time and time again. It depends where the Supreme Court goes in terms of making these gerrymandered districts not happen.
Mm. We're not going to see those
but
affect, though, the 2018
Supreme
election.
I don't know where the Supreme Court is going to go on this.
Yeah, I mean, even if they come down and say that that's messed up, I mean, is it too late for 2018? I don't think they could redraw the districts at this point.
Well, they're making some of the districts, they said they had to be redrawn in a month or so.
Okay.
So this is not terribly surprising. And it depends. You know, they may have early primaries where the districts are not drawn. And that may say, and then the primary people could go to the courts and say, hey, look, the district wasn't accurate. Well, that may be. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that in 2018, we are going to see a real, we're not going to see a big change in 18, but we may in 2020.
Now, you mentioned you're watching,
and
you're there for the state
Democrats,
of the
Democrats, who I know very well, who don't think that we're going to see a Democratic Congress in 2018.
And that just because of the gerrymandering.
They think that the Congress may stay as it is.
Well, you know, status quo is kind of the easy thing to bet on in Washington, but
Well, the other thing is, it's very interesting. The Democratic National Committee this morning put out something saying, oh, we've outraised ourselves. The Drudge Report, now granted, Drudge Report is Republican, but Drudge is now saying, well, look, they've done so, they're broke. The Democratic Party's broke. So again, it depends. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and it depends who you talk to.
Yeah, you were mentioning earlier you were at the State of the Union, or at least outside the State of the Union, talking to folks. I watched the thing on TV, and I've watched a bunch of these, but it seems like there were more applause lines scripted in there for Donald Trump than I've heard for any president. And the Republicans got up every time to stand and applaud like crazy for them. But there wasn't really anything new in this whole thing that was announced on Tuesday when he did this whole thing.
Well, not only was there nothing new, but, you know, as I started, the Pride Institute right up the street from where your radio station is, I will tell you I know something about addictions. And he said that they're going to beat the opioid addiction. Well, how's he going to do that? He didn't mention a word about it. He just said, we're going to beat the opioid addiction. Okay, great. How are you going to do that? And the fact is that fentanyl, which is one of the most addictive substances on the planet, if not the most, is coming in through the U.S. Postal Service.
Well, his reaction to this, or his solution to this, was just, hey, we got to do more about cracking down on immigration. And I don't think immigration is really connected with the opioid crisis here. Or am I missing something?
Well, he's trying to say that it is connected. He's trying to say that it's the bad immigrants that are causing this problem. That is not what's causing this problem. And he can build all the walls he wants between Mexico and the United States, and it is not going to stop the fentanyl opioid crisis, which is happening because of China and the U.S. Postal Service.
We're speaking with Ellen Ratner from Talk Media News. We're talking about what's been going on in Washington this week. Just turning ahead to next week, I mean, obviously Super Bowl is occupying everybody's mind back here, but Nunez's memo is going to be talked about next week. What else can we look forward to? Because we're getting close again to
memo is going to be one thing. I think what's going to happen with the DACA, which is the Dreamers kids that were brought here when they were kids, think of themselves as Americans, that is going to be very, very hot. And then don't forget, so we're just a week away from the Olympics opening, not even, well, I guess that they begin on the 8th. In the United States, they begin on the 9th in Korea, but they begin on the 8th here because of the international dateline, and the government is supposed to shut down, and we don't have a plan yet. So now what are they going to do?
I mean, is the Olympics funded by the government? I mean, is that a government function? I thought it was a separate committee.
No, but what I think, it's just like people are focused in your neck of the woods on the Super Bowl, people are going to be focused on the Olympics, and they're not going to be focused on the government shutdown. And when I talk to staff members up at the Capitol this week, they said that they're worried it's going to go on for 2 weeks.
Yes, I remember. I was wondering and worrying about what NBC would do if they would cover the Olympics or cover the shutdown and how they'd handle that on the air. They got enough channels now these days. I guess they don't have to worry about that. But that's going to be a big concern heading into next week. So, well, Ellen, be careful on the street there. I hope you made it to
wherever
you're going.
Thank you. Sorry I'm on the street today. Hope sound was okay, but you heard what I had to say anyway.
Yeah, we did. Ellen Ratner from Talk Media News. Appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a break, but when we get back, I want to talk about the DFL gubernatorial race and why, despite the narrative that, hey, everything is okie-dokie right now and there won't be a primary that will cost the candidates a lot of money, there's likely to be a primary that could cost the candidates a lot of money. We'll talk about that next year on the Mike McEntee Show.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. I bought my newest Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota in July, and I'm so in love with it. It's comfortable if I'm running the kids to activities or on a longer road trip. It's safe with backup cameras, blind spot protection, and the safety features Toyotas are known for. And it's fun with the bells and whistles, EcoDrive, sunroof, and so much more. I love my new Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna. Stop into Rudy Luther and test drive one yourself at 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace and air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years, so if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee back here at AM 950. 952-946-6205 is our number here. We've been asking you to give us a call. If you have a candidate or cause that you want to promote for the caucuses, there's somebody that you really like, you think, hey, this is, you should know about this person, whether they're running for governor, whether they're running for Senate, whether they're running for the legislature, we'd like to hear about it. Congress, you know, we're going to be playing back some of those. And so we'll play those back here in just a few minutes. But when we do, if you have some that you'd like to call in, we'll take them live. We'll be glad to do that as well. Talking about the governor's race, when Attorney General Lori Swanson announced last week that she wasn't running for governor, it appeared there wouldn't be a DFL gubernatorial primary. Good news for all the candidates involved, or at least the party, because then everybody's united behind one candidate after the convention, and you can go out and beat up on the Republicans and not be beating up on each other. Well, not so fast on that. The first question that's asked at practically every DFL candidates forum is, will you abide? And that means, will you abide by the endorsement process? Meaning, if somebody else gets the endorsement, you're not going to run in the primary. Well, as you remember, our current governor, Governor Mark Dayton, had none of that. He ran in the primary, and he won, re-election. So there's a question of always about what does the DFL endorsement mean? And a lot of folks have been going around it. Lori Swanson was expected to go around it. Well, the six candidates who are running right now were gathered in Farmington this past week, and it was the day before that Lori Swanson made her announcement, so take this with a grain of salt. But when they were asked if they were going to abide, here's what former St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman had to say.
I have not made that decision because the most important thing is that we win in November and we govern to our progressive values.
There will be a primary, and I'll defend my endorsement in it.
Yeah, and that second voice you hear there is Representative Tim Walz. Now, Tim Walz sounding pretty confident that he thinks he's going to win, and there's no question about that he's going to win. Of course, he could have been referring to the fact that he was pretty sure that Lori Swanson was going to get in. But in any case, there appears that between at least those two candidates, there's a thought that there is going to be a primary. Now, the other candidates who are running, and those would be State Auditor Rebecca Otto, Representative Tina Liebling, Representative Paul Thiessen, and Representative Aaron Murphy, they were all at the forum and said they were going to abide by the DFL endorsement process. Now, that whole process, again, begins on Tuesday when DFLers will attend their precinct caucuses. A non-binding straw poll will be taken at 7 o'clock when they convene, so get there right on time. Results of the poll are going to be available later that evening. However, it doesn't mean that that's who's going to win, because it is the delegates, not the poll, that will determine who gets the endorsement. Caucus goers are going to be asked to vote for delegates who attend the county or the Senate district convention, and then those folks go to, you know, the next level, and eventually everybody ends up at the state level, and those delegates will eventually determine who gets the endorsement. So we've been asking you about speaking about endorsements, speaking about, you know, all of the resolutions that get brought up at these things, who you might support or who you would like to see, you know, out there, you know, running, and why you are going to the caucuses for them. And we have some sound here from some folks who have been calling in at 952-946-6205 to let them know what they think about us. Mike Vogel is up first. He's going to tell us who he is supporting in the CD3 congressional race.
And my name is Mike Vogel from Brooklyn Park, and I'll be supporting Adam Jennings for 3rd District Congress. And I'm supporting him because of his stances on a livable wage, as well as his stance on Medicare for all and his intricate understanding of the legislation, which I think makes him the best advocate for the working and the disabled alike. Thank you very much, and I hope to see everyone at caucus on February 6th, and I hope people will join me in seeking to be a delegate for Adam Jennings.
Now, as we mentioned, there's also resolutions, and while we didn't have anybody here particularly call and say, hey, I'm really into this resolution, we did have somebody call in with some tips, because resolutions, it's kind of the last thing sometimes that gets taken care of at these conventions, and they get forgotten. Dave from Richfield has some very good time-saving tips for resolutions, both in writing them and how you should consider them at the caucuses. Here's what he had to tell us.
Hi, this is David from Richfield, Precinct 2, and I've been in the resolutions part of this thing for a while. What I want to suggest is that at the beginning of the caucus, when they establish the rules, that the resolutions should be established as a rule, that you go around the room. One person does a resolution, another person, another person, another person. One person can't do two resolutions until you've gone around the whole room, so that somebody doesn't bring in 24 resolutions and then everybody else goes home. Been there, done that. That's how you handle it. Also, the language of the resolutions is, whereas blah, 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 resolved that we, the DSL party, blah, 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 blah. And that would be the language. When it's edited to go to SD50, it will be just resolved. There won't be any whereases. Those will all be gone. So you can just not use that. You can just go resolved. We, the DFL, agree that blah, 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 blah. Also, anything that is already in the DNC platform at the national level from 2016 does not need to be relitigated. And so new resolutions should be given to the front of the line. And you can just Google what the DNC platform is. Anything else that didn't make it to the DNC platform should be, you know, up for grabs and should be part of the resolutions process. Thanks very much.
Okay, you got all that? Sure you did. But yes, the whole idea is, you know, you don't have to write all the whereases. You don't have to have a pile of them. Have one and take turns, and don't duplicate what the National Committee has already done. 952-946-6205, if you have somebody that you're supporting for the caucuses. Kelly from Plymouth is first up here. Hey, Kelly, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm trying to shrug off this dismal weather, but I'm calling because I'm supporting Dean Phillips in the CD3 congressional elections. And I'm
okay.
Supporting him because I think it's all about winning. You can be on the right side of all the issues, which I believe he is, but nevertheless, you can be on the right side of all the issues. But if you don't know how to win, it doesn't really matter, because you're going to be sitting at home watching Eric Paulson do his dirty work again. And I find that Adam Jennings and Brian Santa Maria are really decent people. I think they're right on their motives are good, their intentions are good, their positions are good. But I haven't seen any indication that they can run a professional and organized political campaign, and they certainly can't raise money. And this is going to be a very, very expensive election that's going to draw a lot of attention from the GOP. So if you don't have a well-organized campaign, a well-funded campaign, then you don't have a chance of winning. And that's been proven out over the past several elections in our for our CD3 congressional representative.
Okay. Kelly, appreciate that. Yeah, Dean Phillips has been the lead money fundraiser in that district. Adam Jennings has been second, although people point out that a lot of the money that is sitting there is a personal loan. He has raised a significant amount of money. Brian Santa Maria has raised about $7,000, $15,000, I think. So not really a lot on that point. But, Kelly, I appreciate the thoughts on that very much. 952-946-6205 is the number here. We're talking about who you are supporting in the caucuses and why. Next up here is Joe from Hopkins. Hi, Joe. What's your thoughts here about
the caucuses?
Good
afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon.
I'm working for Adam. I'm going to be supporting him, and I'm going to be working at the caucus for him.
Okay.
I really like what he has to say, and I think that he probably is going to be able to raise enough money to give a good run to that wonderful Mr. Paulson.
Okay.
So, I just think he supports the right things, and I think they all do, but I'm happy to support Adam.
Okay. And when you say you're working for him, are you being paid for him, by him, or you're a volunteer?
No, I'm just a volunteer. I'm going to be taking care of his table at our caucus at Hopkins High School and probably be doing phoning for him, although my voice has gotten so terrible for some reason that I'm not sure they're going to want me to do phoning for him. But I'm too old to be walking the streets, but I'm going to do what I can.
Let me just ask you, because passion is always part of politics. Is there something about him, Adam Jennings, that's making you passionate about supporting him?
Well, you know, he's talking about medical care for all, which is a vital part of what we need, and talking about raising the minimum wage to 15. And I know that's a big negative issue with some people, even people who I know and love, but I just think that we need to be working for everybody, and I feel as though he sounds like he's passionate about supporting everyone, not just those who don't need us.
All right. Well, I appreciate the phone call, Joe. Thank you so much for calling in. 952-946-6205 is the number. We're going to be going off to a break here, but you can call that number anytime between now and the start of caucuses, or actually day of caucus, for 5 o'clock, okay, on caucus day. And we'll be taking your phone calls, recording them if we're not live here, and playing them back on the show. So again, the number 952-946-6205. Give a shout out to your favorite candidate or cause for caucus. We're going to be talking to that candidate, Adam Jennings, coming up here on the show. But first, let's hear about this week's Art Beat.
This is Art Beat for the Week. I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show, and I have two theaters to spotlight, Frank Theater and Theater Moo. Frank Theater was founded with a desire to produce work that provides opportunities for artists to grow, to stretch, to work outside of and beyond the typical opportunities. The theater is a Twin Cities-based company, founded in 1989 by artistic director Wendy Knox. In its 29-year history, the theater has staged over 60 productions. Their upcoming production, Grounded, brings the personal and political on stage to grapple with issues of war's technology. Grounded is written by George Brandt and directed by Wendy Knox. In Grounded, a hotshot fighter pilot finds her career in the sky interrupted by an unplanned pregnancy. Reassigned to a desk job, she fights a war by day and then returns to her family and her daughter's pink ponies by night. As she operates drones in Afghanistan remotely from the windowless trailer outside of Las Vegas, her life in the desert begins to collide with the desert she is patrolling on the other side of the world. This compelling and searing look at moral responsibility, contradictory choices, and modern warfare seamlessly blends the personal and the political as it explodes our assumptions about war, family, and the power of storytelling. Grounded was the winner of the 2012 Smith Prize and was named a top 10 play of 2013 by both The Guardian and the London Evening Standard. Featuring Audrey Park as the solo performer, Grounded will tour Greater Minnesota in February with a 2-week run in Twin Cities at the Perpich Center for the Arts.
February 8th through the 18th. Perpich Center for the Arts is located in Golden Valley. To purchase tickets, go to franktheater.org. Theater Moo produces great performance born of arts, equity, and justice from the heart of the Asian American experience. Their artistic values include giving voice and cultural profile to the Asian American community, offering opportunities to mainstream audience to gain insight into and empathy for Asian American culture and heritage, promoting awareness of and progressive action on issues of social justice and gender equality, and to move, provoke, and challenge audiences to understand, embrace, and celebrate diversity. Mu is the Korean pronunciation of the Chinese character for the shaman artist warrior who connects the heavens and the earth through the tree of life. Their upcoming production, 2 Mile Hollow, written by Leah Nanako Winkler and directed by Randy Rias, performs in co-production with the Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis. This play is a parody coupled with moments of disorienting sincerity. 2 Mile Hollow explores the dysfunctional family with brutality, awe, and compassion. When the Donnellys gather for a weekend in the country to hash out belongings from their recently sold estate, an emotional storm breaks inside while a literal storm brews outside. As this family of famous, longing to be famous, and kind of a mess characters come together with their personal assistant, Charlotte, audience comes to know some really, really complicated and totally unique secrets that are revealed, of course, over white wine. This show runs from February 16th to the March 4th. MooPerformingArts.org. Get your tickets at MooPerformingArts.org. That's MooPerformingArts.org. That's Art Beat for the Week. I'm Laurie Fitz from Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know that better energy is finally affordable. With All Energy Solar, Minnesota's number one local home solar provider, you can go solar with little or no money down. Qualified property owners could even see a return on investment in less than 1 year. Xcel Energy's Solar Rewards Incentive Program is available first come, first serve, and federal tax credits are available for a very limited time. Schedule your free solar assessment today. Visit allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show. Tuesday night, DFLers in the 3rd Congressional District will be starting the endorsement process to figure out who their candidate will be against incumbent Republican Congressman Eric Paulson. One of the three candidates who is seeking that DFL endorsement is Adam Jennings, a Tonka Bay City Councilman. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Good to have you on. Last time we had you on the show was back in June. In the 7 months that have passed, what has happened besides the weather going much colder here in Minnesota?
Yeah. No, it's been a busy 7 months. I think since that time we've been out across the district. I've literally met with thousands of people and had thousands of conversations. I've learned a lot. And I think I'm in a better position now to represent the 3rd district than I was when we last spoke.
You said you learned a lot. What have you learned?
You know, a lot of it is listening to the stories of folks out in the district and kind of how they're experiencing, what's important to them. I met with a woman actually just recently up in Coon Rapids, and she lives in affordable housing. She currently uses HUD, and she and a number of the other residents that she's living with right now literally have to make a decision about whether or not they're going to buy food or purchase medication. And that just doesn't make sense to me. And it's stories like those that I've been able to share with folks that have really helped ground me in how people are experiencing their lives and how they're being represented or not represented by Eric Paulson.
Now, as I mentioned, we've got the precinct caucuses coming up here on Tuesday. That's the first step in the endorsement process. And I've watched a lot of these over the years. A candidate can be right on the issues, but then money's going to rear its head. If a candidate's not attracting money and other resources, he or she ends up kind of getting the cold shoulder from the party activists who are often the delegates. How are you doing in that department?
You know, we're actually doing a really good job. We put a great deal of effort with our finance team into raising $135,000 in the fourth quarter of 2017. We've raised a total of $440,000 total, and we currently have $250,000 cash on hand. And what I think is really important to understand is that it's not who has the most money, but who has enough money. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's messages and it's issues that win elections, and we just need to be able to connect with voters in this district and able to put ourselves in a position to be able to do that. I think what's important for folks to understand is that, I mean, we essentially have a couple different philosophies that are running in this race right now. You know, one philosophy says that we've got to move to the center and we have to somehow court this mythical Republican swing voter in order to win the district because we're a purple district. And I contend that that just isn't the case. I do believe that we live in a Democratic district. If you take a look at Obama's races, he won in both cycles. Hillary Clinton, she absolutely crushed this district. She beat Donald Trump by 10 full percentage points. But more importantly, if you take a look at the legislative seats throughout the 3rd Congressional, a majority of the seats are held by Democrats. And these aren't necessarily moderate Democrats either. These are progressive Democrats. These are strong union Democrats. And I think the one mistake that we've made is that certainly at the congressional level is that we can continue to move to the center and we have this centrist message. And that's not what this district is looking for. And that's why my campaign has come out and I am running strongly on Medicare for All. I think that is going to be ground zero in the next race. I want folks, when they walk into the general voting booth, thinking about whether or not they want to vote for the guy that's for Medicare for All or the other guy that's for repeal and replace. I'm strongly stand behind traditional public education. I say that as someone who is the product of public education, as is my wife, who's a pediatrician. We're going to send our kids to public schools. And finally, I think it's extremely important for us to have a federally mandated $15 an hour minimum wage. We've got to do everything we can to protect the middle class and expand the middle class and make sure that that we're growing. Because, you know, as Paul Wellstone said, we all do better when we all do better.
I want to come back to some of those issues, but I want to start with what you kind of intimated there is that Dean Phillips is the other, not the only other candidate in this race, but is one of the major candidates in the race. Mm-hmm. How do you differentiate yourself from Dean Phillips?
You know, interestingly, the 3 points that I just pointed out actually are all clear differences between Mr. Phillips and myself. Mr. Phillips does not believe in Medicare for All. Mr. Phillips is also a fan of charter schools, and I certainly understand that there are going to be people in this district that don't necessarily agree with me on that stance. But I'm a big believer, and I absolutely love Paul Wellstone on this. You might not always agree with my stances, but you will always know where I stand on things. And finally, the $15 an hour minimum wage. I believe in a federally mandated $15 an hour minimum wage. I believe Mr. Phillips believes in the concept and he pays his own employees that amount, but that doesn't necessarily mean he wants to impose it on the Walmarts of this world that basically receive a backdoor subsidy because of it.
Well, let's kind of pick up talking about wages there. Unions have been very important in raising wages over the years. We've seen declining membership over the last several decades. You used to be a union member. Mm-hmm. What role do you see the unions in playing and strengthening the middle class?
Yeah, no. So I am a big believer in collective bargaining. If you take a look at all of the balance sheets for publicly traded companies in this country in aggregate, and this is pre-Republican tax bill that was just passed this last year. There's like $2.4 trillion. That's with a T on balance sheets. And what I think is interesting is that if trickle down economics worked, and I contend that it does not, it is dead. That money would be going down, would be trickling down, and wages would be increasing. But we've had wage stagnation in this country for the last 30 years. And that correlates with the strength of unions and the fact that they've been chipped away and having to battle just for survival. And we need to do everything that we can to ensure that they have as much strength as possible so that, you know, at the end of the day, they have the ability to have a seat at the corporate table. They can voice the fact that they need higher wages and not have to worry about their jobs just by voicing their interest there.
Let's hit on a couple of the other big issues here that people talk about. Healthcare. You already mentioned Medicare for All and that you're for a public option. Given the current political climate, if you got into Congress, how do you propose we get there? Incrementally, or does it need to be all at once?
So right now, and I want to make a very important distinction here. I what I'm calling for is Medicare for All. I really think that we need a single payer system in this country. When we talk about a public option, because that idea does get floated, that basically means that Medicare would be sitting next to private insurance companies. Private insurance companies have this innate ability of being able to garner the healthiest, keep the healthiest people within their plans and pushing those individuals that are less healthy out. In a public option, those people seeking coverage would naturally go to Medicare. And on a long-term basis, Medicare would get more and more expensive over time. And it would put Republicans in a perfect position to kind of run their same game plan of saying, look, this program is expensive, it's not working, let's cancel it, and then lots of folks would lose coverage. Now, that being said, I just wanted to set that off to the side here real quickly. The plan that I'm really interested in is the one that is being proposed by Bernie Sanders in the Senate. It's the Medicare for All 2017 bill. And in that, there's a four-year phase-in. In year one, everyone from 0 to 18 would be covered. Everyone 55 and older, covered. Medicare would have the ability to negotiate drug prices with drug companies. That's year one. In year two, basically the threshold drops from 55 to 45. In year three, it drops from 45 to 35. And then in year four, everyone should be covered. I think it's probably similar to a system that you would see in Taiwan. For those of you who don't know, the listeners that are out there, Taiwan actually has a single-payer universal system, and it stole a page from the U.S. playbook. It used U.S. Medicare as the basis for its system, and it's extremely successful.
We're speaking with Adam Jennings. He's one of the DFL candidates running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Let me ask you about the other thing that it shut down our government here the other weekend, immigration. We have millions of people who are undocumented. The Obama administration, now the Trump administration, has been actively deporting many people. How do you resolve the current standoff on immigration and then ultimately solve the problem?
Yeah, that's it. One, what's happening right now is just absolutely ridiculous. The fact that you come to this country as a child and you had no choice whether or not you were here, and all you've ever known is living in America and being a part of the American system, you should have a pathway, a clean pathway to citizenship. We just need to get it done. And I think this is something that as Democrats, we just need to stand up and fight for. I think as a party, that fundamentally, this kind of speaks to who we are as Democrats and some of the issues that I think Democrats have in general. I think we made a conscious decision in the 90s to move to the center. And I think it may have been politically expedient at the time, but whatever political expediency it had is gone. What happened was it put us in a position where we have incrementally shifted further and further and further to the right. And what we've done is we've kind of lost who we are. You know, we used to be this party that we stood up unapologetically and fought for the poor. We fought for those without voices. We fought for the working class. We fought for the middle class. And it's time that we actually turn back to the pre-1990s party and start to embrace some of those issues again. And this is just a perfect example of, you know what? Dreamers, DACA, they need clean citizenship because it's the right thing to do. Period.
We've got just a few seconds left here, but I'm just wondering, caucuses are on Tuesday night. What are you going to be doing Tuesday night, and what are you telling your supporters to do?
Come out to caucus, especially if you like the message that you're hearing. We're interested in hearing from you. Please reach out to us at JenningsForCongress.com and let us know that you're interested in caucusing for us, because we'd like to have a conversation. Certainly, I'm going to be out and about trying to touch base with as many precincts as possible, and we're going to have a number of volunteers that are going to be doing the same. But it's crucial. It's probably the single most important thing for us in order to get the endorsement and go on to beat Eric Paulson.
Adam Jennings, thank you so much for your time today.
Mike, appreciate it.
And if you're interested in hearing all the other candidates who are running in the 3rd Congressional District on the DFL side, that is Brian Santamaria and Dean Phillips, along with Adam Jennings. We'll be replaying all those interviews we've done this week with them Sunday at 2 o'clock. So be sure to tune in for that if you're interested. Next, coming up here on the show, though, we're going to talk about Jeopardy. Not only did they lose on Jeopardy, they got sacked. That's all next year on the Mike McEntee Show.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., 2 award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend gale, mpls.com.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman, and this Valentine's Day, I want you to stop at Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park. Jimmy and Helene Pessis have created a family atmosphere where generations of Twin City customers have made it their jewelry store. At Continental Diamond, you can shop without pressure because no one works on commission. In addition to the outstanding selection of jewelry and watches, on Valentine's Day only, they'll be hosting R.J. Kramer Flowers and L'Amour Chocolates for those last-minute shoppers. Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at continentaldiamond.com.
Hi, Richard for Auto Technical. Since 93, I've picked up the donated vehicles, and the question I'm asked most often is, how do you pay the bills if you give away cars? Well, we have a fundraiser on Friday and Saturday. Vehicles priced from $1,500 to $4,000. Reconditioned and ready to test drive. Help support our mission. You will be impressed by the quality vehicles. A good bet is Auto Tech. Autotech.org. Give it. Put it back.
Love my tender. Hey, it's Mike McEntee back here on AM 950. Got a set of musical chairs here I want to explain for you just for a moment. Now, we heard earlier the big news this last week was that Lori Swanson was not running for governor. She's going to run for attorney general, and that caused kind of this domino effect. Ryan Winkler, a former state representative, had been running for attorney general, and he said, well, I'm not going to run for attorney general. Well, now Ryan Winkler says he's going to run for Peggy Flanagan's seat. Peggy Flanagan is running for lieutenant governor with Tim Walz. And that was his old seat before he decided to get out of the legislature. So Ryan Winkler wanted to get back into politics in District 46A. This was kind of interesting. I know you've heard this. Matt's played this, but I wanted to play this one more time for you if you hadn't heard this. Our Minneapolis mayor, new Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey, cut a promotional video saying how wonderful Minneapolis was, you know, for all the people coming here for the Super Bowl. He said, look at the wonderful, you know, rivers. Be sure to take a look at our bridges. And then he kind of had this little tag to the ad that also included some weird stuff at the end. Listen to this.
A big welcome to the New England Patriot and Philadelphia Eagles fans. For the Eagles fans, don't worry, we're going to be greasing all the lampposts so you feel right at home. So come on out, have a great time, and make sure you come back to visit us again. Are we seriously welcoming the Eagles fans?
Yeah, I guess we are. So, you like that guy? You like that kind of guts to stare down the opposing team that has embarrassed your hometown Vikings? Well, you get a chance to see him at the Blue State Ball coming up here on March 10th. We still have tickets available. We got general admission tickets, and we've got VIP tickets. They're all over at am950radio.com. Jacob Fry is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Tom Hartman is going to be there. We are going to have Norman Goldman and, of course, Matt McNeil. So come on down. Get your tickets for March 10th. It'll be a great time for all of your like-minded progressive friends to kind of hang around. And we've got more big political names that we're anticipating we're going to be announcing here between now and the start of that. I don't normally watch game shows, but you know, there's you just had to see this bit here the other day with Alex Trebek on Jeopardy. Now, Brett, you're familiar with Jeopardy. You watched enough of it to know how it works, right?
I did. I prefer the Saturday Night Live Celebrity Jeopardy version. I know the show.
Okay, so they have, you know, the idea is they give you the answer. You have to come up with the question. And they usually get these brainiacs. There we go. We've got our Jeopardy music. So the category this past day here was talking football. And it was the only one left, so they had to go through this. And we had three, Ryan, Sarah, and Justin, and they had just avoided this category, and I guess we found out why. So here, let's see if we can answer the questions that they couldn't. The first question was, for $200, your choice, do or don't name this place in which the QB runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. Brad, what's the question?
Let's see. What is the option?
What is the option play? Yeah, it's a pretty easy one. And nobody got this. Everybody's just standing around looking like they, you know, were dropped the ball. So anyway, it kept getting worse. Okay, how about for $400? Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team.
I better get the $400 if I answer this right. You just said so. But who are the Dallas Cowboys?
Who are the Dallas Cowboys? Yeah, go ask the Dallas Cowboys for that money. I'm sure they'll pay it to you. They botched it. And this continued on. They got the next two wrong as well. So $1,000 clue. And Trebek says, well, just for the fun of it, let's look at it. And the audience starts laughing. And he says, it's a video clue from the Vikings Stadium in Minneapolis in advance of the Super Bowl. It shows names like Alan Page, Carl Eller, Jim Marshall, Gary Larson. And the answer was a famous group of players for the Minnesota Vikings. And Trebek said, if you guys ring in and don't get this one, I will die.
All right. Am I answering this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Who are the Purple People Eaters?
Yeah, you got it right. They didn't. And for a fun fact, tweeted out after the show, our contestant answered as many clues in this category as the Browns had wins this season. Hey, Monday, we're going to talk about indivisible Minnesota 3 with their amendment they're taking to the caucus. We'll see you on Monday.